bring them to an old-fashioned altar and save them by his amazing grace. Isn't that good? That is good. I appreciate what God is still doing here. Appreciate the folks at the church here, the good meals and the hospitality, Brother Tucker and Brother Tom. And we're grateful for the Lord allowing us to be here again. And I want to try to preach tonight and be a help here. It's good to see our friend Brother Hugh in the service tonight. And I was thinking about him this afternoon. And if you'd allow me, as Paul said, maybe bear with me a little in my folly, I'd like to say some things about heaven tonight. Heaven. And really didn't come to argue or fuss with anybody. I really didn't come to dispute with anyone. I just, tonight I'd like to brag on the Lord and say some things about heaven. Amen. So if you'll look this way and get your Bibles out and pay attention close, and I'll try to leave room for the next speaker and have some brevity. You know, they say that's the biggest lie told among preachers. They're going to be brief. But we shall attempt it. Revelation 21, and I want to read a verse of 2 and just get a starting off place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Turn me down just another notch there, brother. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, let me stop there for time's sake. There's several things here in this chapter that I want to mention. This chapter gives us a little preview of what our future home in heaven's going to be like. And I'm not tonight preaching about some myth of my imagination. It's not something I read in somebody's book. I'm not preaching about some dream I had or some vision I had. I didn't get this from some religious figure on the Christian broadcast network or none of that. I got saved 21 years ago in an old-fashioned Baptist meeting in the hills of Alabama. And shortly after that, I heard that old preacher get up and preach about heaven. And that night that I got saved, didn't say much about heaven. It was more about Calvary and how Jesus died for me and stretched out his arms and paid the great price that I could be saved and my life be changed and my life be salvaged. And that was a wonderful story. It touched my heart. I've never been the same. 21 years now, that life literally transformed me that night. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear any voices. I just believed in the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it changed my life. I wish I could say I've been perfect since that, but I have not. There have been many sins, many failures, many shortcomings, many things. I often said I didn't just do enough to go to hell before I got saved. I've done enough since I've been saved to die and go to hell. But his mercy and his grace has been wonderful. It's been more than I could have ever asked for. And but I heard a message about heaven, and I raised in the country, and my mother and her parents and my dad and his parents, they were sharecroppers, and neither one of them on either side of the family tree ever owned their own home. They worked for another man and took part of the crops. And when I heard about God building us a place and God building us a city and God preparing something for us, and then that old country preacher, he just kind of skirted across it that first time I heard about it. But something in my heart, boy, just kind of jumped up on the inside. And I began to read and study and think about it, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. For if we know of this tabernacle, this house, I mean, it's odd. We have a building in the heavens not made with hands. I mean, I got to looking and hearing about all of that and studying. And boy, it just thrilled my heart to think that any minute we could leave this world and be in that other world with the Son of God, and everybody will be happy. Even the Baptists will be happy over there. Isn't that a blessing, man? No fussing, no fighting, no arguing, no debating. Nobody hating each other. Nobody mad with one another. But there on the other side, it'll be wonderful and marvelous and glorious over there. Revelation 21:16, he said, the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. You see, I'm talking about heaven is a huge place. A huge place. There's not even a red light in the community where I live, and really don't even have a service station there. It's just kind of out in the sticks, you might say. But heaven, it's not like that. It's a huge place. A little study of this verse lets us know that the city of heaven is a 1,500-mile cube. If the city of heaven was laid off in 1 mile squares, there would be 1,500 streets going both directions for a total of 3,000 streets, 1,500 miles long, are 4,500,000 miles of gold streets on the first floor. But since the city is a cube, if the same measurements were used going up, that'd be a total of 4,500,000 streets, 1,500 miles long, made of pure gold. That'd be a total of 6,750,000 miles of golden streets in the city. And if the Lord just put one mansion on each corner, that'd be 2,700,000,000 mansions inside the city of heaven. Heaven's a huge place. I'm not talking about some little small place like Dallas or Seattle or Los Angeles or London or Frankfurt or any of the metropolitan cities of the world today. Heaven is a huge place. It's a holy place. Revelation 21:10, he says, the holy Jerusalem. Revelation 21:27 said, there shall be in no wise entered anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm reading you out of a King James Bible. Hey, I said this is a holy city. Ever Dick, Tom, and Harry ain't going to heaven. Everybody in this world ain't going to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. It's going to be a holy place. And what we like being holy, we want after the judgment seat. It's a happy place. Even the Baptists will be happy over there. Can you imagine the Baptists happy? I mean, some of them don't even want you to smile. I mean, if you act like you're enjoying yourself, then something must be wrong. Something must be out of shape. Hey, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's nothing wrong with being happy. Happy about it? The Bible said in verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. That'll make me happy. No more death. Preachers, aren't you tired of going to the graveyard? Aren't you tired of getting those little folds that had to read the obituaries before you preach? Aren't you tired of comforting some dad or some mom or some daughter or some son about their loved one that's made the crossing? No more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I like that little chorus that says, I'll be so glad when the day is done. I'll be so glad when the victory's won. There'll be no sorrow in God's tomorrow. I'll be so glad when Jesus comes. It's going to be a wonderful place, this place called heaven. Now, what would you and I do if we were to go to heaven, say, today, or tomorrow, or whenever? What would we like to do when we get there? You see, heaven is not, we're not going to be floating around on a cloud, strumming a harp. It's not going to be that. I mean, we're not a bunch of flying spirits. If that's the way it was going to be, God would have built a landing strip where we could have just landed and took off whenever we got ready. God didn't build no airport. God built a city. City. What are we going to do when we get there? Well, I'd like to take a sightseeing tour, wouldn't you? I'd like to see that book that's got my name in it. In verse 27, he said, "And there shall no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." In Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 3, he said, "I entreat thee, help those women whose names are in the book of life." Man, I'd like to see the book that's got my name in it, wouldn't you? 21 years ago in a little old-fashioned meeting, there's probably about 50 people there, and an old preacher got up and preached about Calvary and the cross and a loving Savior that died for me. I sat in there, an old dope addict, lost without God, looked like nobody cared and nobody wanted me. And all of a sudden, that old preacher said, "Listen here, the price has already been paid. All you've got to do is just come and trust Him and believe in Him." And that night, God wrote my name in the book of life. Now, every time I messed up, He didn't want up there and erase my name. Son, the angels would be wore out, wouldn't they? Oh, I know all you good, wonderful people here, you don't do nothing wrong, do you? Huh? Somebody pulls out in front of you. I mean, you slam on them brakes. Baby comes flying across the seat. Wife hits a windshield. All your stuff falls down. I know what you do. You just say, "God bless them real good. Oh, God bless them, Lord." That ain't what you do, is it? See, you got all them bumper stickers on your car, and you've already said something ugly, and they're wondering, "What in the world? He must be telling me something about these bumper stickers." Witness to him after you cuss him out. I'm telling you, my angels hadn't erased our name out of that Lamb's book of life. I mean, they don't go up there and take it out every time we sin or do something wrong. God's not as you and I. God don't change His mind monthly. God's a sovereign God. And when you and I got saved by His amazing grace, He wrote our name there, and it's an indelible ink, and it's still there today. I'd like to see the book's got my name in it. I'd like to see the bottle that's got our tears in it. Psalm 56:8, he said, "Thou tellest my wanderings, thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Psalms 126 and verse number 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Job 16:20, he said, "My friend scorned me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God." I want to see that bottle. Have been a lot of God's children cried and wept. Paul talked about with fastings and tears. And I believe every man of God has spent some time, if he loves them sheep, with the tears running down his face, when his heart's been broke, but he still loves them. He's not a hireling. He's not a wolf. He's got a heart for those people. Now, a lot of dear precious saints have wept and cried, and God's got them tears. I want to see the bride that's dressed for the wedding. In Revelation 19:7, he said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Revelation 21:2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down for her husband out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I want to see that bride, don't you? Now, you and I may not look like a bride tonight, but we are the bride of Christ. I mean, in all the beauty and all the splendor of all the weddings down from the beginning of time, it must have been something when Rebecca fixed up for Isaac. It must have been something when Ruth got ready to marry Boaz. But you hadn't seen nothing yet, friend. To the bride of Christ, the church of the living God, adorns herself for that wonderful wedding. I want to see the bride dressed for the wedding. I want to see the brother I've never seen. In Mark 3:35, he said, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." Are you saying, Brother Danny, that Jesus Christ is your brother? That's exactly what I'm saying. You see, why I say that is we both have the same Father. And if we got the same Father, that makes us brothers. Amen. He said, when he taught them to pray, he said, "My Father, which art in heaven." Listen, we've got the same Father, and I want to see the book and the bottle and the bride. And I want to see the brother that I've never seen before. I like that song that Miss Crosby penned down, that poet of yesteryear. "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I've loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oft times the day seems long. Our trials are hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over, and God's eternal day. Sometimes the sky looks dark, without a ray of light. We're tossed and driven all, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer." She summed it up and said, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." You see what we are in America? We've got our eyes off of that wonderful city. It's another car, another truck, a place on the river, another membership, another piece of real estate, another dollar made, another CD count, another possession, this or that. Friends, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Pick up the tent stakes a little. Don't drive them so deep. We're headed out of here. I want to see some things. I want to say some things over there. I'm glad tonight that I'm not guessing or speculating on what we're going to say. The conversation's already recorded. In Revelation 5:13, he said, "Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Now, I'll tell you something. You better get your eyes off of some of us preachers. You better get your thoughts off of some of us preacher, and you better get your heart on the lovely Lamb of God. You're not going to be praising no preacher. You're not going to be talking about no preacher. You're going to be praising Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He said in Revelation 7, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power and might be unto God forever and forever. He said, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I'll tell you something, you better warm up over here. It's not going to be a quiet place. It's not going to be a bunch of dead Baptists sitting there waiting on something new. It's going to be alive and fresh, and we're going to worship and praise the Lamb of God. And that is foreign nowadays in America. Old time religion is about gone. Old time salvation felt in people's heart. It's just about gone. Folks don't want it. They don't participate. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing in heaven. I tell you, when I get there, I'd love to just watch all them Baptists walk in. I mean, I preached to them for 20 years now. They've sat and they've looked and they've gandered. I'd like to see the first few steps when they make in that city and the Lamb of God sitting over there in all His glory and all His splendor. And I'd like to walk up and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, don't get excited. Just be calm. Don't just be reserved and dignified. Please don't lose your dignity when they go to shouting and praise and worshiping the Lamb of God. And you might ought to just warm up a little down here so it wouldn't be so strange to you when you got over yonder. I want to sing in that heavenly choir. The Bible said in Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It must have been something when Moses made it out of Egypt. And the Bible says they stopped over there and began to sing on the other side. That must have been some song when they cranked it up. They started singing about Pharaoh drowning in the Red Sea and his horses and his chariots and singing. That must have been something. To hear somebody said 2.5 million, ever how many Jews that was, it must have been something when they cranked it up and began to praise God for delivering them. I'll tell you something, it's going to be something when the church cranks it up. Now you believe what you want. You can believe Beethoven's going to do the deal, Bach's going to do the deal, you can believe all that if you want to. But I don't believe none of it. Zilcho, honey. I don't believe God's going to have nobody around there floating around their drawers, man, you know, writing music and all that stuff. I don't believe none of that. I don't believe a word of it. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I believe it's going to be alive, man. I mean alive. Amen? I mean, listen, and if He don't let some of us Southern boys crank up a five-string, a dobro, and a fiddle, and a mandolin, I mean, it'd take Heaven to help me get over there, because I'd be disappointed. I mean, surely to God, He'd let us Southern boys crank it up one time over there. I know some of y'all don't believe that, but I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know what beat that is, but it's good, ain't it? What a song that must be when God's young'uns get home. When I get to heaven, I want to shout when I get to heaven. I read this Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. In Psalm 47:1, he said to the chief musician a psalm for the sons of Korah, clap your hands, all you people, shouting to God with a voice of triumph. In Isaiah 12:6, he said, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I don't understand how anybody, when we get to heaven, is going to be able to contain. I really don't. I mean, when we get to that place that we've dreamed about, we've longed for, I mean, the battle is ended and the war is over and we're at home with our Savior, I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout, because there are going to be some things that are not there. And I jotted some down for you. No more adversary. Aggravation. Agitation. Annoyance. Athlete's foot. Adultery. Abortions. AIDS. No more asthma. I got a 10-year-old boy that sucks that air, can't get his breath. And I've watched Micah breathe since he's a baby. Man, ever since me and Lynn had that boy, and my heart's greater for people that suffers with that asthma. I've watched him grasp for breath and lay there and couldn't breathe. And it'd break your heart, see a little kid try to get a breath. And but no more asthma. No more asthma over there. No more bunions, baldness, backache. Bitterness, broken bones, broken homes, beer. No more business meetings. No more bad breath. No more bad debts. No more cancer, cemeteries, confusion, crime, cussing, complaining, crying, car wrecks. No more crutches. No more Clinton. No more. No more. No more doctors, dope, divorce courts, dandruff, dance halls, deceit, disappointments. No more death. No more devil. No more. No more evil. Earwax. No more enemies. Eyeglasses, no more funerals, false teeth, no more fads, fear, failing, falling, fighting, fussing, feuding, no more fault finding, no more. No more garbage dumps, gout, goodbyes, no more goodbyes. No more griping, no more guilt. No more gore. No more heart attacks, hearing aids, hernias, hatred, hospitals, hurricanes. No more high blood pressure. No more. No more insurance, insane asylums, internal revenue, immorality, idolatry, incest. Insects, no more itch, no more itch. No more jails, jealousy, jiving, no more. Kidney stones, no more killing, no more Kennedys. No more liars, liberal preachers, long hair on men, liquor, lawyers, locks, no more lies. That's a blessing, boy. We pick up a bunch of them kids on our buses, and there's a lot of lies. My girls have used that lie stuff on their hair so many times I could fall out. But that's all right. We still go get them. No more lies over there, though. No more misunderstandings. No more mucus. No more mice. No more mosquitoes. No more movie houses. No more newspaper nastiness, nudity. No more need. No more obscenity, opposition, obstacles. No more obituaries. No more policemen, politicians, pornography. No more pain. No more pills. No more problems. No more queers. No more quarreling. No more quitting. No more questions. No more rock music, rebellion, roaches. No more rap music. No more sickness, sorrow, snot. Sinus infection, snakes. No more snakes. And I've been living in my house nearly 20 years. I was back there getting dressed. My wife run in the bedroom the other day, just a screaming, jumped up on top of the bed. I said, honey, there's company here. Shut the door. I'm naked. She couldn't say nothing. She just said, snake, snake, snake. I said, what? Snake! That's all she could say, drawn up saying, snake! I walk out of the bedroom, my bathrobe on, my girls up on top of my piano. They're saying, snake! Snake! I look in the bathroom, there's a little black snake in there. So I got this ball bat from Mexico, this missionary demon. I'm in there chasing the snake, hitting the snake. The snake's scared. I'm scared. My women's scared. My boy's scared. And I'm beating holes in the floor trying to kill this snake. Never did kill him. He was scared of me as I was him. If he found him a hole, son, and I ain't seen him since. No more snakes. No more sweat, no more selfishness, no more shacking up, no more stealing, no more stupidity, no more sin, no more. No more toothaches, toe jam. No more tobacco. I don't know how we make it, but somehow we make it. It'll be tough. I like that good dip of snuff, don't you? God, I can't hardly believe. Somehow we'll make it. I don't know how. No more television. No more tears. No more trials. No more toupees. No more ulcers. No more undertakers. No more vomit, violence, vengeance. No more wayward children, wheelchairs. No more wheelchairs. No more wigs. No more water bugs. No more worldly churches. No more X-rated movies. No more yielding to sin. No more youthful lust. No more Yankees. Brother, I'm telling you, it's worth going for. Won't miss it. No more zigzagging. Let me stop and close. Sometimes I'm sure you're like I am. I mean, whether you're from the north or south or east or west, there's a yearning in a child of God's heart to go home. Something in my heart says it's not as long as it has been. And I don't know when, but I'm looking for the Lord to rapture his church out of here and take us home. I want to see mother. And I want to see grandmother and granddads. I want to see old preachers, Brother Bob, that laid their hands on me and sent me out. That's done gone now and had confidence in me. I want to see that praying mother that prayed me in when I was just wicked as hell and I already went to hell. I want to see her. I got some old friends that are here tonight. And I don't know, I may beat you home, you might beat me home. But if you beat me on the other side, you tell mother last time you seen me, I'm still in the battle.
Yeah.
I'm still in the fight. And I'm still looking forward to getting home and resting on the other side. They said when General Stonewall Jackson died, he died on a Sunday, and a doctor came into where he was laying there. And he had contracted pneumonia from his gunshot wound, and his lungs was filling up with fluid, and it was time. Doctor come in and said, General Jackson said you're going to die probably today. He said, that's good. I've always wanted to die on Sunday. And he said, sir, would you like anything for the pain? He said, no, I don't take anything for pain. The doctor went out of the room, left him with the family. In a little bit, General Jackson raised up off his bed. And he said, I'm going yonder beneath the shade of the trees and rest. And he laid his head down and he went home to be with God. Someday soon, we could be at the other side resting. And whatever the problem is tonight, whatever the anxiety is, whatever the pain, whatever the sickness, whatever it is, it will be worth it on the other side. Therefore, there remaineth a rest for the children of God. And someday soon, God's young'uns are going to rest and never hurt again and never suffer again. And what a reunion that's going to be in that immortal city. When this corruption puts on incorruption and this mortality puts on immortality, what a day that's going to be. Father, take the message tonight and use it. I pray you'd use it to cheer your people's hearts. God, may we get a fresh glimpse of that wonderful place. God, may we see it tonight as we've not seen it before. God, may we be as sojourners and pilgrims in search of a better country. God, remind us of it tonight. Take these stammering words and use them. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.